time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
What, with the passive-aggressive patronizing? Listen, Stetson, your reputation isn't ruined. It's been enhanced to the College Football Inquirer.
SI's Ross Dellinger.
I tell you what, the federal government, I'm sure, doesn't want to fund them. It's like billions and billions of dollars, but something's going to have to happen here. We feel like we're at a breaking point with this issue.
And SI's Pat Forty.
I don't accept the apology of the First Lady. We'll just go to the former president. That isn't how it works either, okay? Like, you don't get to choose which former president you just want to be honored by to indulge your greatness.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
Hi, welcome to the pod, and we got some college football to discuss here, including Stetson Bennett's released arrest video. That's exciting for us. That's savages, vultures, content. Let's watch Stetson get arrested. Hey, good times. But before we get to football, that's women's basketball is the gift that keeps on giving.
Mm-hmm. They won't
Who
stop.
Knew? Who knew? Too often a rather dull sport where just UConn won and everyone was polite. Not anymore, my friends. We had all sorts of controversies, of course, over the Final Four that we discussed in the last episode. Some real, some kind of maybe not less real. I don't know. But we do have this one. Dr. Jill Biden, our First Lady of the United States of America, FLOTUS, they call him, right? That's the Washington, D.C. parlance, right?
FLOTUS. She is the sitting FLOTUS.
Sitting FLOTUS attended the women's title game, or she was there for some of it. And afterwards, after she said, I know we'll have the champions come to the White House. We always do. So we hope LSU will come, Biden said. But, you know, I'm going to tell Joe, I think Iowa should come too because they played such a good game. Well, okay. Probably well-meaning if, you know, maybe not the best idea. Angel Reese, LSU star, the quote-unquote Bayou Barbie, they're calling her. It's a great nickname. I couldn't like this more. Deemed such an invitation to the runner-up a quote-unquote joke. And then when Biden kind of walked it back a little, said, I don't accept the apology. I'm not sure there was an apology, but I don't accept the apology because you said what you said. This is Angel Reese to FLOTUS. You can't. So great. You can't go back on certain things you say. They can have that spotlight. We'll go to the Obamas. We'll go see Michelle. We'll go see Barack.
Which is also in D.C., not far from where I live. They can come on over. I can have them over for drinks before they go
to the Dellingers. Go to the Dellingers. That's right. Yes.
We can boil some crawfish if they want.
There you go. I just know if the roles were reversed, they wouldn't be the same. If we were to lose, we would not be getting invited to the White House. I assume that is, I don't know. I think we can read through that one, huh?
Yeah.
Lot made of the Iowa team being of a certain very white team.
As you said, Dan, it seemed like good intentioned from the First Lady, but not very wise, especially given the drama after the game. And I think it was one of the Louisiana lawmakers. It was a Republican congresswoman from Louisiana, Julia Letlow, I believe, who messaged, tweeted out after Jill Biden's comment. The Republican from Louisiana tweeted out that the LSU Tigers are welcome over her house, basically, you know, if they want to have a party or something, and don't worry about going to the White House. So it's really stoked the fires of the political machine.
Pat, you must have thoughts.
Oh, I have thoughts. I do, as a matter of fact. Joe Biden, I think, is a pretty serious sports fan.
She's attended men's Final Four. She attended women's Final Four, which is pretty cool. She attended Olympic events. Saw her in Tokyo at a couple different of events. But yeah, this isn't really kind of how it generally works. Like the there's no participation trophies when it comes to White House visits. So she was probably a poor decision there, and she walked it back. So then for Angel Reese, the Angel Reese power trip has really been something this week. I would say that I don't care when we talked about it. Like, talk all the trash you want, win the games, back it up, all good. You know, nobody needs to feel sorry or concerned about Caitlin Clark or feel like Angel Reese was a big, mean bully or anything like that. But how about a little bit of grace as a winner here? I don't accept the apology of the first lady. We'll just go to the former president. That isn't how it works either, okay? Like, you don't get to choose which former president you just want to be honored by to indulge your greatness. Like, I'm guessing the Obamas don't really care and probably aren't going to ask you to come over. So that's just a thought there. Also, the Obamas being pretty close to the Bidens, they're probably not going to say, yeah, you know what?
Right.
Forget them. Come over and see us. So,
yeah.
Angel Reese, a little bit of grace with victory would be welcome, I think, at this point.
Also, I got it wrong. Instead of Julia Litlow, the congresswoman from Louisiana, a Republican congresswoman, invited LSU, instead of going to the White House after Joe Biden's comments, she tweeted out, Coach, if the White House insists on making you share the championship visit, we would be honored to celebrate your team at the Capitol. So go to the Capitol instead of the White House. There you go.
Capitol to the White House.
The actually, the Iowa coach actually had a good suggestion. She said, thank you, First Lady FLOTUS, for the offer. But this is an honor that belongs to LSU. And how about if you just come to a home game at Carver Hawkeye Arena? I thought that was a good answer.
Yeah, that's a good one. And caucus, come caucus. Caitlin Clark said that's for LSU. They should enjoy every single second of being the champ. I think that's theirs to do. I don't think the runners up usually go to the White House. LSU should enjoy that moment for them. And congratulations, obviously, they deserve to go there. Poor Caitlin Clark's just thrown in the middle of this damn thing. Every time Caitlin Clark turns around, she's got to like explain that she's not offended.
Mm-hmm.
Bad move by Jill Biden. Angel Reese. Yeah, probably could have handled it a little better. But, I don't think I'm not a believer that anyone should have to go to one of these little White House prop things. I mean, I think going to the White House is cool.
I think LSU
cool.
said they're not going, right?
They're waiting for the Obamas, I guess. Yeah. Or can you choose your thing? Could you just be like, I want to go to like the Millard Fillmore Presidential Library?
There's an idea,
Just pick our
your
favorite
former president and find an attachment. There you
just
go.
They can go to the Lincoln Memorial and that's it.
Just go to the Lincoln Memorial. Don't go down the street. I don't really know how this works. I don't think that we should have a country where the president gets the demand you show up. I think that's kind of an invitation, but you don't have to go. So right. If you don't want to go, don't go. Maybe you like the guy. Maybe you don't like the guy. Maybe you just don't like, you just don't want to do it. Right. This is not, you get to choose. But anyway. Hysterical, fairly hysterical. Yeah. Jill Biden's got to work that out a little better.
I also wonder
the rules of the invites.
You know, it would make sense strategically if you're running for president again in 2024 to try to indulge Iowa. Pretty important state true. In the
right,
in
right.
The election
maybe that
process.
Was it. Yeah, and this
Georgia's the new Iowa, though.
Yeah,
invite the Bulldogs back up.
Well, LSU, good times. Good times. Anyway.
not. I wouldn't call Louisiana a swing state.
Not a swing state. No.
No.
They do have a Democratic governor, but, I wouldn't call it a swing state.
Not a swing state. All right. Well, women's basketball, keep it up. Keep going.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
What will you have
Let's
for
go.
Us next
We've
week?
Now feuded with the first lady. Fairly.
By the way, on the heels.
Uncontroversial person.
On the heels of this, the women's basketball NCAA the championship rating, 9.9 million viewers, a couple of congresswomen have gotten together in the House and introduced a women's equality bill that actually just dropped. It was just introduced on the floor that would create basically a committee that would have oversight and make changes on NCAA policy governing women athletics to assure that there is equality and fairness. So they've kind of used the women's tournament as a launching pad in just something that just dropped. So we'll see where that goes. It was like a reintroduction of a bill, but it would create a committee. I know you're surprised.
My head's going to hurt.
That a bill would create a committee.
Don't get me started. Committee
a
on
16
equality?
Member committee.
60, good.
There you go.
Oh, of course.
More voices, more bureaucracy. Yes, yes.
Of course. What was the problem? Like, are they going to demand more people watch so that they reach the same as the men's championship game rating?
This dates back to the women's basketball locker room situation years ago. And the NCAA hired out an outside law firm to suggest recommendations, for changes in the equality of the women's and men's tournaments and championships. And I think they're saying that not enough of the changes have been made, because there have been changes. For instance, March Madness is now used, with the women's tournament when it before was apparently not allowed to be used. It's crazy that was a thing. But so they made some changes. I think the congresswomen want more changes, and it is a bipartisan bill. So I'm going to assume it has a shot to pass.
Yeah, this was a scary one for the NCAA.
Yeah,
because what reasonably is not being done? Like, I know they're like, well, the Twitter handles the March Madness. Like, that's really not going to change the the impact on anything.
Like, yeah,
like right? What is not being done? The weight room stunk. Yeah, it did, but I mean, like, is anyone ever going to discuss the elephant in the room that all the women's basketball programs lose money?
Look, I thought that they went to great lengths to try to address some of the inequities that were out there. And I think, that this seems late is what more than anything else, if not just gratuitous. So.
I don't know how many real problems there are. I'd be willing to hear them. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find.
And that, let alone that they might require the federal government to be involved. Not like, hey, maybe we could try to make sure we get some better weights in the weight room.
Yeah. So I'm trying to find the statement they sent me that highlights.
The women's basketball is great. I've covered 5 women Final Fours. It's, if you're entertaining, we're going to talk about it, all that stuff. But at the same time, I don't know. It's like,
so I'm going to read some of the, I'll read some of this of what the congresswomen are citing. So they do give credit to the NCAA for making a number of changes. However, the statement says the NCAA has both rejected recommendations identified by the Kaplan report and has neglected to commit implementing others, and it cites as those others the fact that the NCAA decided against placing the vice president for women's basketball at the same seniority level as the senior vice president of basketball, men's basketball. It cites the NCAA has not yet considered establishing a chief business officer, as the Kaplan report suggested, that would implement a strategy in the marketing, promotion, and sponsorship of championships that prioritize gender equity. Of course, the last line is, the role will be particularly valuable as the NCAA renegotiates media rights that are currently set to expire in 2024. That's probably the big one, right? We haven't talked about this, I don't think, on the show, but there's one more year left in the NCAA's bundled media rights deal for women's basketball and all the Olympic championships. I think there's one more year left on the deal, so it's coming open. And the big question is, does women's basketball need to be separated out that? You guys remember a report, I think it was a Kaplan report, that said that a separate women's basketball tournament would garner over $100 million in media rights deal. And right now, the women's basketball tournament is bundled with all the other Olympic sports, and ESPN is paying $35 million.
Right. They got a deal.
So almost certainly, they got a hell of a deal. The women's basketball tournament will probably separate it out.
That will be done by market forces because
yes,
the NCAA isn't dumb enough to say no. We'd still like 35 million.
Yeah,
the people at the NCAA are not sitting there saying, "I'd like to." These are the greatest proponents of women's sports.
Yeah,
like they get lectured like they're the ones that hate it.
Yeah,
like they're. So yes, women's basketball tournament should get its own thing, and yes, it should get a bigger deal. That's still not enough money for it to all of a sudden all these programs to hit the black.
Right? Well, no, no women's basketball program, I don't think it's going to hit the black. In fact, I can't wait to see. We'll know next spring LSU women's basketball numbers from this past year. And the more you win in an Olympic sport, oftentimes the more money you lose because you have to travel more. And I probably shouldn't say that women's basketball is an Olympic sport, but I guess you guys know what I mean. Non-revenue sport is kind of what I mean.
The more
you win in a non-revenue sport, the costlier it gets. I mean, I don't know how much LSU is going to lose. I know when I covered the team doing some LSU finances, I think women's basketball team, and this was back in 2017, lost about $4 million a year. It's possible that this team lost over $6 million.
I think I saw, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I think it was like South Carolina lost $3 million. And that's one of your most successful entities. Yeah. They do pretty well at the gate.
Right.
And I don't know if, but so it's, and you're paying the coaches have, you know, I don't know what Don, I think Don Staley makes $3 million. Right? Like something like that. So you got to pay these hot coaches a lot of money too. Yeah. And it's all there. Look, they can do a better job with some of these Olympic sports. We've talked about this in the past. The women's basketball tournament, they actually have a very good promotion on ESPN. ESPN not only takes that broadcast, that thing very seriously, they show regular season women's basketball highlights. Like they pump it all year.
Yeah.
Like you're watching SportsCenter and they've got women's basketball highlights, there's almost no one in the stands and they're getting on SportsCenter. And if ESPN just wanted ratings, which some of their shows do, they would just sit there and talk, where's Lamar, what's going to happen with Lamar Jackson for a straight hour? Or where's Aaron Rodgers going to go? That's how you get an actual rating. So they do stuff to promote their products. So they have a good deal on that. Many of the other Olympic sports have kind of, they're all niches, but I think a lot of them could be bigger. We talked about volleyball as a possibility. Gymnastics, you've seen a big bump with that SEC network and some of the Olympians. Yep. Softball and baseball have huge thing. You know, I'm a big fan of the hockey tournament, Frozen Fours this weekend. That thing is that isn't promoted at all.
Right.
Like, I mean, they have their like regionals and like Allentown and like it's on ESPN News and like they don't get it. The Frozen Four will be on. I would like to see it bigger, but I get it.
Yeah.
It's college hockey, right? I think there's a growth there, but it's also like how much of a growth. Obviously Pat swimming, you know, you have your fans, but how do you get all of those out to the national consciousness and all you got so many sports fighting for a little bit of turf.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. Is it's all finite. And yeah, they're going to butter the bread that's going to make them some money. So that's where I think women's basketball is well positioned for a payday. But yeah, Dan, to your point originally here that like the NCAA has been the biggest champion of women's athletics, period.
In the history of Earth.
Yeah.
No other entity on Earth cares more about this than NCAA. And yet everyone bashes the NCAA on this. I bash the NCAA all the time, but you got to be fair.
Yeah.
And who's done more for women's athletics on Earth than this organization?
Nobody, not even close. And so,
yeah, women's soccer on the national level probably wouldn't be anywhere near what it is.
The gymnastics on the national level, the Olympics. Competing at college has so many girls playing all these sports, and there's so many girls wanting to play college sports that it's the engine that powers youth sports and on up. And so,
yeah. I mean, you go back for 30, 40, 50 years, and all of the Olympic star athletes, almost, not all, but almost all of them came up through college athletics. and they got their chance because there were scholarships to be had and competitions to be had and championships to be won and good coaching and good competition. That's where it all started.
Gymnastics and figure skating is pretty much some skiing.
Right.
There's a few sports that don't necessarily have it, although they've been growing into it.
Yeah. So. I mean, and this lends itself to the topic du jour around college athletic administrators, which is how to preserve and protect women's sports and Olympic sports during a time when we seem to be barreling toward a revenue sharing or employment model for college athletics. I'm on kind of a week-long circuit right now, popping into some AD's offices and coaches' offices too, that is the topic everybody wants to discuss, is the solution to what's coming as far as the athlete compensation model.
Yeah, I would like to hear these lawmakers' suggestions on that. I mean, they can worry about, you know, whether everybody makes sure they get the same free swag at the men's and women's basketball tournaments, but do the legislators want to make sure that there are still women's sports?
Yeah.
I mean, right? They funded the entire thing off of men off of football players. Yeah. They've used football players to fund women's sports
at the highest level.
Without their consent, without their agreement, without their negotiating to do it. They just took the football money and said, "We're going to do this with women's sports because we care." That is the decision they made. Now the football players might be able to get back some of their money. They're worried that this deal that nobody agreed to, football players didn't agree to, might threaten them. And I think you have to have a real discussion if you're the and I understand none of these lawmakers want to have a real discussion. They want to, I'm on the side of equality for women's sports. Well, yeah, that's a winning campaign, right? Bash the NCAA, they're at, but like you're taking the money from this guy. He earned the pile of money. If the top women's basketball programs, women's basketball is the most popular women's sport, I would say, and the top teams can't break even and they're only floating because of football, then at what point do the rights of the football players matter? And what point has all that happened? And these schools sitting there saying, we're going to lose our sports. Well, then you decide that you want to have that sport. It's not right if the school itself wants to do that. And then what are you doing? Some of these teams, remember the hearing we had about a week ago, and they were talking about, at Virginia State, they were talking about, well, our students have to pay a fee to fund the athletic department. They could be having another hearing at Capitol Hill going, colleges are too expensive. How do we cut down on the cost? And it's like, well, one way would be don't charge your students an athletic fee, right? Because if you're just trying to go to school, maybe you don't really care about whether or not you have these teams. It seems like a luxury item if you're just trying to pay for school, which most people are. So I just find so much of these discussions a little disingenuous because they just won't get to the core thing to even discuss it, let alone or acknowledge it, let alone have an honest discussion about it.
Well, and if there is some kind of legislation like the California revenue sharing bill, or if there is some kind of employment model that requires schools to take their profit from football and pump it back into football to pay players, then a lot of these women's sports and a lot of these Olympic sports will go away or will drop to a club, a club level like we talked about before. I think the devil's advocate, I'll play devil's advocate here, is well, just cut your football coaching salaries and stop building gaudy facilities and spend that money and pump that money and use that money to float some of the women's Olympic sports. But like Swarbrick told us on this call when we had Jack Swarbrick on, like a lot of ADs have told me, even just recently on this trip, is that even if you cut all of these salaries in half from these million-dollar football coaches, even if you stop all facilities debt in all that stuff, you're still not going to have quite enough to fund 25, especially 30 sports. And that's the thing they're trying to, get their hand around is how to fund these things. I can tell you what, the federal government, I'm sure, doesn't want to fund them. It's like billions and billions of dollars, but something's going to have to happen here. We feel like we're at a a breaking point with this issue.
Well, yeah, that I still think there's some people crying wolf here. I want to see exactly, you know, where these numbers, where the rubber hits the road in terms of the finances here. And it'd be great if some ADs want to actually, like, walk us through it. Fine, because I'd like to hear it. Because if I do recall fairly clearly in, say, the summer of 2020, less than 3 years ago, if we don't play football, we are ruined. We're going to be dropping sports left and right. We're going to be cutting dozens of sports. That happened? No. Go back and look at the budgets and see how much people are spending. They're spending as much or more than they did then. Salaries keep going up. So I've heard a lot of crying wolf from a lot of ADs for several years now. I want to see how this thing's actually going to work out. And I think, look, I'm not saying it would be easy to fully compensate football players the way they want to be compensated and have everything else. But I think there are ways to at least come close to doing it. And also, I will fall back on the default position, taking a little bit of issue with Dan saying that there was no consent to their money being redistributed. That's the way it's always been. So the consent's basically always been there. If the college athletes didn't know that's the way the budget worked, well, that's the way the budget's always worked.
Well, they do now.
Yeah.
Some of them do.
Okay.
I agree. And it's always been, this has always been the system. Absolutely. They didn't steal their money. They just always have been taking their money. And I agree. I'd like to actually see what you could do administratively and stuff. But there's like these dual tracks where there's people complaining that there's always more money to spend to make quote unquote equality, or you can hire this person or have this, or, you know, this trying to jet travel, or everything could be equal. And at the same time going, well, why don't we at least acknowledge who what the money is? Cause the money, these same people are like, yeah, of course, you know, Bryce Young deserves his share of the cash. And so it's like, well, something's got to give here. I just think if colleges want to have a team, they should fund the team, and they can figure out how to fund the team. And I also think, as we said with Jack Schwarbrick the other day, like, his team would look, if they got rid of all scholarships, all college scholarships, and many of these smaller sports only have 6 or 8 or whatever, dividing up, all the teams would look exactly the same. The kids would still want to go to Notre Dame. They would either get their FAFSA, their financial aid that way, or Pell Grants, or they would just pay their share as it is, or they'd have the same kids that their parents have enough money to just pay the Notre Dame freight. And that's one way. And again, you bring up the idea of, let's not have scholarships for women's sports, right? Absolute third rail in Washington. But it's actually more of a solution than what some of these people are talking about, because it's like, well, at least you got to cut somewhere. Just could probably do this. This could probably be the same. I know it's never going to happen, but because of the symbolism of it. But that's better than just sitting there saying, well, you know what the solution is? Let's hire more people. Like, the money's the money. You're going to have to share it with these football players. You can't get all the money anymore. Now, the pie keeps getting bigger. So I think that's my thing with Pat's point is correct. Like, well, if you just got $1 billion TV deal, seems like you should be able to fund everything.
Right.
Yeah.
There's never been more revenue coming in, and there's never been more people crying about we don't have enough revenue. So I don't get that.
Big question. There's two surges of revenue incoming for college athletics. And the question is, what are you going to do with this extra revenue? One, the new TV rights deal, specifically with the Big Ten and SEC. What are they going to do with this extra revenue? And the second one, of course, is the CFP expansion, right? You're going to have maybe an extra $1 billion with a B, dollars coming into college athletics. And sure, some of that, a small percentage, is going to be on running the games and staff and blah, blah, blah. But where is that other portion going? And I've already heard administrators, you know, discussing that. Is that something we need to put aside a certain amount to prepare ourselves to share revenue with athletes, specifically football players playing in the CFP? And I think that would be wise of them to put it aside for a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be easy. Anyway, see? Look what women's basketball's doing for us.
Thank you, women's basketball.
What does FLOTUS think of that? What does FLOTUS think of that?
I'll knock on her door when I get back home to D.C. and ask.
There you go. Please do. And one more day of pod topics.
Should we break down the Stetson Bennett arrest video? Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, our favorite player, Stetson Bennett, the law firm, found himself in legal trouble. Okay, we all got this thing playing. Cops going after Stetson. He's hiding.
Yep.
Let me see your hands.
Step out. I want to see his hands.
Let me see your hands. Oh, yeah.
There he is.
There he is. Yep. There he is.
We're both hands in the air.
Bad boy, bad boy.
Keep him up. Keep your hands up.
Hey, what do
we want? He didn't listen well. His hands aren't up.
No, he did not. He's not very coachable at this point. Not very coachable.
You know Belichick's breaking this down.
Getting cuffed now. Hands behind the back.
We got a few calls about you.
Good rotator flexibility.
We got a few calls about you, huh?
What's going on? If all else fails, then unfortunately you have to go to the drunk tank.
Drunk tank.
All right. So we're just going to sit you down for a couple minutes. I'm going to try to see if I can't find your phone, see if you didn't leave it over there by one of the doors.
Right here.
Can't find his phone. That's not good.
Can't find his phone. There's like 50 women texting it right now.
This is tough, bro.
Uh-oh.
This is way too tight, bro.
Hold on. Stetson's talking.
Damn. I double checked.
You can't fit in the back of the car.
Double check the cuffs.
Way too tight, bro.
Sit tight. Jesus Christ. Sit tight for a minute.
I can't move.
Can you just try to pull your knee in a little bit?
Why would I try to do that? Why don't you just undo the hand a little bit? Are y'all going to give me a shot? Answer this or what?
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you, sir. Uh-oh. Well, it seems like they will.
He's getting back out of the car. He's doing his own play-by-play.
Yeah.
Do you have anything on you that we need to know about? Any illegal drugs or anything?
Listen, brother, y'all won't give me my hands.
Y'all won't give him my hands.
Under arrest for public intoxication, okay? So we weren't able to find any phone over there. Where you were last seen, all right?
That sucks.
Did a pretty extensive search over there.
It's getting frisked now.
Yep. Not fun.
Oh, he's in the car now. Hold on. He's going to say something.
Everything I worked for 20 years ruined. The job boy's just looking out for me, aren't you? Thank you, sir.
Did y'all hear what he said exactly? Because somebody quoted it. Yeah, reputation ruined. Everything I worked for 20 years ruined. But y'all boys just looking out for me, aren't you? Thank you, sir.
What, with the passive-aggressive patronizing? Yeah. Listen, yes, Stetson, your reputation isn't ruined. It's been enhanced to the College Football Inquirer.
Yes, it has. Absolutely.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah. Not the best timing for that little foray.
I didn't know drunk tank was the official term.
Official term, yeah. I thought the same thing.
Gotta go to the drunk tank.
I appreciate, the plain spokenness of it instead of, just like the holding cell for the overindulged. Drunk tank.
Well, I don't know. Does this increase? Does he move up or down in the Mel Kiper draft? What do we got?
I've said before, I was one. Look, this is not good for Stetson. Not good. Don't get busted when you're a fringe draft pick, when you're a sixth round guy. Gives you a chance to be an undrafted free agent.
Yeah.
Maybe better.
He's not that drunk.
We didn't see what he blew, did we? Or did we ever hear?
He's definitely drunk, but he was able to climb in and out of the car without his arms.
Without his arms.
That's not easy.
Yeah, he kept saying, you guys he's got my athlete. Hands. You got to give me my hands back. Like they were cut off.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we still love you, law firm. We love you. You're always our guy. Just own it. Just own it. That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of owning it, more Michigan trash talk is out there. Braylon Edwards, former excellent Michigan wide receiver, was on a podcast, and he was he handed it to Ohio State. Ohio State is what they are now. They are a team that can't beat Michigan.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. That's why I say it's over. Michigan is not only beating Ohio State, they are having their way with Ohio State. It's not even interesting in the second half, if you will, anymore. I like the if you will. Especially in the fourth quarter, it's just not. Ohio State fans, they are off on Ryan Day. The kids seem like they are just trying to get basically to the NFL. And then he talks about how they can't get a quarterback recruit. Why, if I'm, I don't know. I would not challenge Ohio State's recruiting, Braylon, but he talks about how this program's not as good as that program in Ann Arbor. That program is falling apart. More bulletin board for Ryan Day. Braylon Edwards, I mean, Michigan is just off. They're just off the chain right now.
Yeah, they're feeling themselves, aren't they?
I mean, Harbaugh called the best team ever, but this is just trashing Ohio State at this point.
Wow. I mean, this is like, get a little bit, you know, the person maybe from a lower socioeconomic status who briefly hits it rich and just blows all their money immediately. This is kind of how Michigan sounds. We've won two in a row. The series is over. We have won the series. We have totally defeated Ohio State forever. Won two in a row. The losing streak before that was what? Six, eight?
Seven, I think. No.
One, two, three, four, five, six, Ryan. Seven, eight.
Eight.
Eight. Yeah. During Braylon Edwards' time, they were 1-3 against Ohio State. I mean,
Ohio State was a field goal. If they hit that field goal against Georgia, they win the national title.
Yeah. Yeah. They're playing for the championship, and Michigan is not. So, I mean, wow. I think they are prematurely burying the Buckeyes, which could have risky consequences.
I don't know. I mean, this is just, I love it, but my goodness. The kids seem like they are just trying to get basically to the NFL. I got to say, it might be a little kernel of truth in that one. It does look like Ohio State's team the last couple of years. He did, you know, that one stung a little. That one's got to sting a little bit.
Yeah.
You're like, Braylon Edwards, shut up. Well, that kind of did look like that the last couple of years.
Yep. No, I am not convinced that Ohio State has had the quote unquote, you know, team culture of let's go win a championship embedded with those guys. But I also know that, given their recruiting, they probably should be better than Michigan most years and have been other than the last two, and maybe again next year. Look out.
I mean, this game is already again. I'm already excited for the game.
Yeah.
Can Ryan Day, I mean, Ryan Day has done an excellent job at Ohio State, but he has not won the last 2 years. Can he, like, what would a third loss do? Like, I can't imagine. I mean, still, once they expand this playoff, Ohio State's going to be in the playoff every year.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's where
losing to Michigan isn't that important. They got in the playoff last year and they lost to Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they could have won the national title with the loss to Michigan. It's not 1977 anymore. But, like, how irate are the fans if they lose a third time?
Super irate. I mean, Dan, you remember we were standing next to each other on the field at Ohio Stadium last year, and when the Michigan fans are singing "na na 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 hey hey goodbye," and the Ohio State fans were not very happy. Hey, it was an angry, angry bunch. The ones that were still left in the stadium.
Well, remember we were walking down to the field because we can go on the field the last, like, what is it, 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
So Pat and I are walking down through the concourse at Ohio Stadium to get to the ramp that goes down in the end zone. And people are started to funnel out because Edwards had just busted one of his two long runs. Mm-hmm. And that was a bitter. And then I listened to Columbus talk radio that night on the ride home for as long as I could.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
It was an ugly crew. It was an ugly crew calling in.
I remember, the guy in like the fifth row behind the bench, "Day, you stink. Bring back Urban." You know, that was kind of the mood.
Well, Braylon Edwards, he doesn't have to play in the game, but hammering it. Michigan, both schools actually are recruiting really well right now. Ohio State has just landed a whole bunch of guys. Another great receiver. Michigan's got their quarterback. It's on. I like it. It's better than when it was just hammer, you know. It was really like boring there for a while.
Yeah.
I guess I never thought Michigan would turn into this. I mean, there's always sort of a little arrogance to Michigan, right?
Really? No way.
Yeah. No. But not to this kind of like this. It's more like this. Like, it's a different arrogance. Not, you know, your program is falling apart.
No. Right. Right. No. Michigan's arrogance before was that we can be generally excellent in everything. We're academically superior. We're athletically superior. Other than we don't beat Ohio State, but it doesn't matter because our academics matter more than theirs. And now it's just like, nah, we're way better than you. Bring it on.
In everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Biggest recruiting news of late, USC landed Deuce Robinson. 6'6", 265-pound tight end out of Phoenix. Intriguing prospect. 144 receptions, 2,586 yards, 22 TDs as a tight end. He's also like an astoundingly good baseball player. They compare him to Aaron Judge. He's a monster. Wow. Just an epic athlete.
No pressure on him, huh?
Yeah.
No. But he will. So he didn't know if he was going to play football or baseball. And he's going to do both at USC, but he's a late commit. He's from class of 2023, so he'll be on the field. So the scouts kind of liking him as the next one of these great tight end prospects. And I don't know how important could this be for USC that's trying to get themselves into that playoff.
Well, Lincoln Riley knows how to use offensive weapons. That's for sure. He'll find ways to use him. It sounds. Physically, I haven't seen him, but he sounds like Darnell Washington, the monster tight end for Georgia, who was 6'7", 270, and could catch and also but was a great blocker and really kind of helped make mismatches for them for their offense. So if you got another one of those guys, like Darnell will be a first-round pick, I'm pretty sure here. That's a big, big weapon for USC. And especially, look, USC can use all the physical players that they can get if they can help them run and not just be one-dimensional finesse kind of team. That's good for them.
Yeah, they're going to need the whole ground and pound in the Big Ten a little more probably than they needed it playing in the Pac-12. So you would think they need to probably start stockpiling these kind of players that are big and can run block. But this one sounds pretty versatile too. So it seems like the old USC's kind of roaring back here. We'll see if Lincoln can keep it up, but I think it's good for college football, you know, have a power in the West like that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's going to be power in the Midwest League, but no, it's still got one big year here for the Pac-12, and we will see where that one goes. Also, hey, quick reminder before we get to some other stuff. This show is now on the Yahoo Sports YouTube channel, so you can watch it.
About that,
yeah. Have fun.
I mean, there's
see what we're doing for a full hour.
There's nothing better than the video excellence of us.
Oh yes, the beauty.
My lighting here is tremendous today.
Yeah, look at this, and look at this beautiful cement wall behind me.
Yeah, we got NC State. I'm in Augusta, Georgia. Pat's fine. Yeah. So.
That's so I got questions here. Like you had this fantastic podcasting room last time at the actual Augusta National with beautiful pictures behind you and everything, and now you look like you're in my aunt's bedroom. So what happened?
I'm at, yeah, I'm at the house we rent in Martinez, Georgia. Okay. Lovely Martinez. And so I'm not on the grounds right now. I'm not around the grounds right now. I'm gonna get over there though. See how the crew is.
Better hurry up. John Rahm is tearing it up, apparently.
Oh, after doubling the first hole?
Yeah, he just eagled.
Wow.
John Rahm hitting bombs.
There you go.
Need the Chris Vernon, what's going on at Augusta update. John Rahm hitting bombs.
Brilliant, Dan. Well done.
Always good to be at Augusta.
Two questions and also one programming note, too. Wetzel the Gelding scheduled to run today at Mahoning Valley.
Yes, we'll have an update. I know we had to tape before.
Yeah, $75,000 purse. I mean, you're moving up.
I've told you, we're back. I have inside information that had an excellent winter.
Okay. All right.
Excellent winter. I am in contact with the owners.
All right. I hope you've got
I have not bought in yet. It's very complicated buying a horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better to have someone else do it for you.
Yeah, I might just be a fan. I don't know.
But we'll hopefully see. You get at least a small bet down on your guy. Former guy, Gelding.
You know, I don't know why you have to continue to bring up that medical procedure. No respect.
It's the best part of the horse.
No respect.
So my questions are, what's been the go-to cheap food item for you so far at Augusta? And at 4 o'clock, do they really turn on the beer taps in the media room?
I like their little club sandwich. They just have a little club sandwich. It's very simple. Deal. I'm not a pimento cheese person.
Okay.
Doesn't do anything for me. I wouldn't know, Pat. I'm busy working.
Sure.
I don't know if it's
they ring the bell, don't they? As I remember from last year, Dan, they come on the PA right at 4 or 5 o'clock and say,
last
beer
one,
in the back.
Beer taps are now open. Last day, they say the bar is open. You can go get a proper cocktail. Yeah.
There's the Azalea cocktail, right, which is very good last year. It was like cranberry, vodka, and something else. And it kind of looked, you know, looked like reddish. And they called it the Azalea, I believe. It was nice, very nice.
Yeah, that's not bad. I tend to just, you know, wait till I get home. I don't want to drive, so.
Oh, so, you look at you, responsible.
We did have a podcast listener, this guy Kevin. Kevin Smith from Cleveland came by our house.
Really?
That we rent. Hmm. Yes. And he brought some excellent Wellers.
Really?
He brought some. He came with the heat. He's a podcast listener. We also have Jimmy Haygood, the barbecue champion from Charleston, South Carolina. And he's got his blackjack sauces and beef jerky and all that. He cooks, so he also listens to the pod a lot. So yeah, we've run into a few people down here. A lot of crossover, Masters college football. It's definitely a crossover appeal.
Last year I think I bumped in on the course like a couple of athletic directors and a couple of coaches. Shane Beamer, I remember, was there, and
a
couple
of ADs too. On here once. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, everybody's out there. So, not bad. All right,
bad rainy weekend, right?
It's supposed to rain, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be something. All right, two quick stories here. This one is, you can tell me, is this the most terrifying thing that could possibly ever happen? South African pilot, Rudolph Erasmus, he's a pilot in South Africa, was flying along in his plane, a Beechcraft Baron 58, with four passengers. When all of a sudden, a cobra slithered under his seat.
Oh.
He had a cobra on board unknowingly. South Africa is just wild, man. I was there for the World Cup a long time.
This is the literal movie, Snakes on a Plane. Huh?
Yeah, except it's not a big plane. There's just one pilot.
Oh, boy.
And there's now a cobra.
Oh, boy.
In between your legs. Not only that.
Yeah.
Oh, gets worse.
It does. Uh-huh.
Two cobras?
It was a moment of blank awe, saying he literally thought the cold feeling on his back was a water bottle. I felt this cool sensation sort of crawling up my shirt.
Oh, no.
Thinking he may not have closed the bottle properly and water may have been dripping down his shirt, I turned to the left and I looked down and I saw the cobra receding its heads backward underneath the seat. The cobra was climbing through his clothes.
No.
Talk about a focus challenge. Because you're flying a plane. It's not like you can pull over in a car, right, and deal with the Cobra, you have to still fly the plane and land the plane.
And land the plane, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Seems like an important task.
Like, remember, like, in Ricky Bobby, they put the cougar in the plane, in the car, right, or by the bobcat or something? Yeah. So he had to make an emergency landing without panicking because that could trigger the Cobra to attack. And the Cobra can kill you in 30 minutes or less. Yeah. He decided, I didn't inform the passengers because he didn't want them to panic if they saw it. He said, listen, the snake is inside the aircraft. It's underneath my seat. So let's try to get down to the ground as soon as we can. How did the passengers react? Mr. Erasmus said, you could hear a needle drop, and I think everyone froze for a moment or two. He was able to land, obviously. They survived.
Yeah.
However, when they landed, they could not find the snake.
Where'd it go?
They don't know. They ripped apart the plane and couldn't find it. The slithering passenger is still missing.
Wow.
What if our dude made it up?
I mean, I guess, but why would
I don't
he do
know
that?
Why I don't know why, but like, where'd it go? Where's the where did snake
this is the
go?
BBC. I don't know. Where's the snake?
This maybe isn't even the Daily Mail? Come on.
No, this is real stuff.
Okay. All right. Did the snake eject itself and parachute out?
Is that I don't know. Okay. They got a picture of a oh my God.
You just gotta throw the plane away. You can't have it.
Yeah.
That's right. Throw the whole plane in the dumpster.
It's the
never
snake
to fly again. For grounded parts. For good.
Strip it for parts and never fly it again. Yep.
Yeah, just absolute madness. Absolute madness. That would be literally the scariest thing I think could possibly happen. A cobra slithering down your back.
While you're flying a plane.
Yes. All right, and finally, crime and punishment here. Warren, Michigan. City of Warren in Michigan. Warren police reeled in a suspect. There was a dispute at at the Desi Fruit Market on 9 Mile Road. This guy, MD Hussein, came in and wanted to buy fish, but the fish counter closed at 7, and it was 7:13. So the fish counter was closed. They were cleaning up the fish counter, and he wanted some fish. So Hussein picked up a frozen hilsa fish, a kind of herring, and hit the clerk, the worker, across the head with the fish.
Wow. Slapped by a fish.
Assaulted by fish. It was hard enough that he took the clerk to the hospital.
Jeez.
It was a 4-pound fish.
Yeah.
And he whacked him as hard as he could, I guess, with this thing. Macomb County prosecutor Peter Lucido said in a statement, I never thought I'd have to say this, but if you assault someone with a fish in our county, you will be prosecuted. A frozen fish is dangerous if you use it to hit someone on the head. He was released on a $5,000 personal bounty, faces up to 1 year in prison. Pat, what is the appropriate punishment if all the facts I just laid out are true?
Throw the book and the fish at him. Lock him up for a year, man. He's got to do some time for that. This is like basically 4 pounds, like a baseball bat kind of thing. I mean, you know, you swing that, a frozen fish, you could definitely do some damage with that. So
I think he should have to be made to eat the fish raw, the whole thing, the skin and everything. You have to eat the weapon, consume the weapon.
Well, this guy wanted fish.
Well, he's going to get it.
Raw.
Well, that's right.
He's going to get it.
I mean, it's frustrating if they close the fish counter.
You know.
I don't know if it calls for violence. Man just wanted a fish. He wanted some dinner. He wanted fish. The fruit market wasn't allowing it. That sounds like one of those like fancy places.
Probably, yeah. But yeah. I mean, you could have gone down the street to Long John Silver's or something, or those things folded up. I don't know.
Red Lobster.
Yeah, come on.
It's true. It's not the only place in town to get fish.
No.
What about the Arby's? The fish. Pusha T.
Fish a T. Oh, yeah. Pusha T's fishing. Yeah.
Play that song on the way out here, Sean. This podcast is going to end soon.
We are to wrap it up.
The people on YouTube can see how the sausage is made here, if you will.
Like an Arby's fish sandwich. That's how.
You go to Arby's and get the fish. Don't go to McDonald's because you can't trust the square fish. That's what Pusha said.
That's right.
And I don't know. Anyway, I think this is a serious punishment. We just can't have guys out there smacking each other in the head with frozen fish. It just there's got to be some order to society.
Keep your herring to yourself or whatever the heck fish is for.
All right. We'll be back next week. I think we're going to do one show next week, and I'm not going to be on it. So I'm on vacation. So I am not going to be on the show next week. But Pat and Ross will be.
We might spend the whole show just ripping Dan. We'll see.
Yeah, it sounds
the
like
the rule of the show is if you don't show up, it's fair game to rip you. Fortunately, there's nothing to make fun of me about.
Yeah.
So I feel safe that you'll have to come up with your own topics. You think all these topics are easy to just come up with? You think this is easy?
I provided the fish assault topic, so
you did.
Clearly
did. Well, our listener sent it to both of us.
That's true, but I noticed.
Yeah. Wasn't up on my fish crime. All right, anyway. We will talk to you later. Appreciate everyone continuing to listen. Take care. I could sell water to a well. How could you ever think I'd fail? Yeah. The crispy fish sandwich blazing trails. The mother clown's just too frail. Yeah. If you know me and you know me well. Off